Thank you for listening to the Pentecostals of West Houston podcast, where we are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Join us live at powh.org.
Come on, can we put our hands together for the Lord one more time? Come on, hallelujah. Did you believe that He's worthy tonight? Amen. As you can see, Pastor is not here tonight. And as Brother Anderson said, they had to take Papa to the emergency room today. He was severely dehydrated, and on top of that, he has an infection. So he will be in the hospital for the next couple of days. And Pastor probably will talk more about that on Sunday. He is planning to be here on Sunday. Amen. But I thank you all for being here in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Come on, can we clap our hands for the Lord one more time? Amen. We're going to go straight into our scriptures tonight. Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 47. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to go on with our Bible study for tonight. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 and 48. It reads, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now that he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." Then 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." Amen. You can set your Bibles down, and let's go before the Lord one more time. Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence in this house tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God. Lord, we know that you are the God of all, God. You see all and you understand all. Lord, and right now we're asking, God, for you to have your way in this service tonight, God. Lord, we're asking, God, that you touch our pastor, God. Touch the family, touch Papa Lewis, God. We know that you're able, God. Lord, and we serve a mighty God who's able. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you believe in that name tonight? The name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. Amen. Since Pastor is not here, I could kind of talk about him, and hopefully he's not watching me and gets mad at me, but I don't think he'll get mad at me because I married his daughter. But just keep our pastor in prayer. If you ever, the whole family, if you've ever been close to someone and you've had the kind of situation that they're facing, it's very emotional, and you may not even understand what all that he's going through right now. But I mean, that's his father that's not doing so well right now. We're believing God and we're trusting God, and we know that God's will is going to be done in this whole situation, but during the process, that's the hard part. So just lift them up in your prayers. And tonight, I'm going to do a lesson. It's a little bit unique, and some people ask me my title, and they kind of just looked at me. So I'm going to be talking about lessons from a loser tonight. Lessons from a loser. Amen. Amen. You believe that you can learn something from people in history, right? Who does not learn from history often repeats it. This well-known and often quoted phrase is not revolutionary or a revelation to you. Perhaps everyone in this room is acquainted with it. If we do not learn from history, we are prone to repeat history. There are some things that are well enough left just like they are. There are some lessons that I do not want to learn. There are some paths that I choose not to walk. There are some experiences I do not want to know about firsthand. I would rather watch other people. And other people may not realize it, but they are my teachers and my instructors, because I am learning from them by the outcome of their lives. By observing them, I will not have to walk that same rugged path of punishment, penalty, and pain. There was something that I learned real early on in age, and especially wanted to get involved in ministry. If you take good notes, you can save yourself a lot of trouble in the future. If you take good notes, you can learn of what you shouldn't do and what you should do in the church. If you take good notes and you learn from people, you watch people. And I know there's people watchers in here. I know everybody watches somebody. And you can learn from that person, and you can realize, or you can learn not to make the same mistakes that they're making if they're going the wrong direction. So I do not understand some people who cannot seem to comprehend that what happens to others will happen to them unless they redirect their path. You don't have to follow the same path as those who have failed, but you can carve out a new direction. There are valuable lessons to learn from one of the Bible's greatest losers of all time. The greatest loser, perhaps, in biblical history is our subject tonight. Anybody can guess what his name is? Judas. Judas lost out with God. The greatest, what a loser he turned out to be. He was a man who had unparalleled potential. He was a man who was granted unbelievable privileges by the Almighty God. And we can learn from him tonight. Just exactly what all did he lose? Now, I want to emphasize that when you decide not to live for God or not to follow through in your service to God, you are not just hurting yourself, you're not just damaging to yourself or doing damage to yourself, but I'm going to show you tonight what all Judas lost when he decided to turn away from God and lose out with God. The first thing that he lost was the preciousness of the presence of Jesus Christ. He lost the preciousness of the presence of Jesus Christ. Most of us who walk with God would not know what it is like to wake up in the morning and not feel the presence of the Lord. We take it for granted. It's like the sun coming up. You just expect it to be there when you open up your eyes. I cannot imagine what it would be like to wake up in the morning, feel for his presence, and not be able to know that Jesus was there with me. I do not want to know that, and I can't imagine what would that would feel like. I heard of a man who had gone away from God, and someone said to him, "I know that you must miss this and you must miss doing that." And he replied, "No, but let me tell you what I do miss. I miss him. I miss Jesus." There is no greater blessing in the entire world than to feel Jesus with you and to have his precious presence in your life, comforting you and guiding you and blessing you and just being with you. We heard Brother Anderson said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And you ought to take comfort tonight that you don't have to go without feeling that. You have his presence in your life, and you ought not to take that for granted, but you have a God who's always there for you, who's never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, but he's going to stick closer than a brother. You do not have to be alone, because if you have Jesus, you are never alone. You will never be lonely, because he said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you always, even to the end of the world." Judas lost the preciousness of the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the lesson that you can learn tonight from a loser. You don't want to lose the presence of Jesus in your life. The second thing that he lost was the privilege of the apostles' fellowship. He had walked with these men who were written of from the distant past, men who wrote the books of the Bible, that books of the Bible would be named after men who in heaven would have places set for them. But now his fellowship has been broken from them, and he will no more walk with the apostles. Now, I have many good friends in this church, and just being able to walk with them is a blessing to me. And I would hate to lose all of the friends that I've made over the years because I became a loser, because I decided to walk out on God. I don't want to lose the privilege of being called a brother. It may not mean much to you, but it means something to me when somebody walks up to me and say, Brother Kirk, or Brother T, or Brother Tiluxing. There is just something wonderful about that I have a fellowship of a family, a church family, a church body. We're not just part of a good time friendship, but the people that I call friends in this church, they're there and have always been there with me in different times of life. And I don't want to lose my fellowship with the precious people of God. That's something that you should be thankful for tonight. This is not just a church that we just come together and worship, but this is a body of believers that we have fellowship with, that we commune with, that we have a relationship with. And Judas lost the fellowship of the apostles. And that's one thing that the small groups are supposed to help with. If you feel disconnected from the church or disconnected from people, join a small group so you can have that fellowship. I don't want to lose my fellowship with the precious people of God. It's important to be able to call somebody and say, hey, I need prayer today. You may not have to tell them what's going on, but just to know that you can call on somebody and you know that they're going to stop what they're doing to pray for you, because everybody gets stressed. Everybody, you know, needs prayer sometimes. Everybody feels a little down. But it's an awesome thing to have a fellowship of friends, a fellowship of believers, and say, hey, I need some strength right now. And when they begin to pray, you just begin to get encouraged, and you begin to feel the strength of the body. And that's what church is all about. And I don't want to lose my fellowship with the precious people of God like Judas did. The third thing he lost was his participation in Pentecost. He was never privileged to participate in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. He lost the precious privilege of being in the upper room when the Holy Ghost was poured out. I don't want to lose the privilege of participation in the mighty moves of God and the great things that God is going to do. I don't know about you, but whatever God is going to do in this church, I don't want to miss out on it. I don't want to miss out on the participation of the Holy Ghost and on the moving of the God Spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. Judas lost that. He lost his participation in the day of Pentecost in the move of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is still moving today. He's still moving right now. The Holy Ghost is still here. That's just the Spirit of God. Amen. And I don't want to miss out on receiving from God. The fourth thing that he lost was his place in the ministry. They took his bishopric rank from him and left it to another. He lost the privilege of being able to stand with the apostles in the ministry. There is not a book of Judas in the Bible. There could have been, but there's not. We will never quote Judas. We will never talk about the missionary journeys of Judas. No one even names their children Judas. No one names their dog Judas. I don't know anyone who ever uses the name of Judas. because he lost his place in the ministry. And the pain of that is beyond comprehension. That's something that we cannot even comprehend on this earth. He lost his place in the ministry. He could have been great. He could have been named an apostle, written on the foundations of heaven, but he lost his place in the ministry, and another had to fill it. He was a loser in so many ways. The fifth thing was he lost his place in heaven. And I want you to know that what you do with your life is a big deal, because there are others who are following you. There are careers that will fail. There are lives that will end in devastation, because this is a real world and it takes a real God, or else we are helpless. There are lessons that we can learn from a loser. The scripture tells the story of the lost axe head. Some men were cutting down trees and getting ready to build, and the axe came off of one of the axes. The head came off one of the axes, and it was lost. My simple point is this: before things are lost, they usually become loose. Before things are lost, they become loose first. Fact that reminded me, somebody lost the key on Sunday because it was loose from your keychain. So if you lost the key on Sunday, come and see me. Things all of a sudden don't get lost. There is a looseness that precedes lostness. It's not a matter of just waking up one day and saying, I'm not going to church anymore. That never happens. No one just wakes up one morning and says, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. I'm finished going to church. I'm not praying anymore. I'm returning to the world. That does not happen overnight or in the spur of a moment. But what does happen is that you become loose in your consecration. You become loose in your dedication. You become loose in your prayer life. And you gradually move back and lose the fight for the front row. You lose your sensitivity to the Spirit. You lose your convictions. Before anything is lost, it always becomes loose. And what we need now is more than ever is a tightening. If you're loose in your walk with God, it's time to tighten it up. If you're loose in your prayer life, you need to tighten up your prayer life. If you're loose in your worship, you need to tighten up your worship. If you become loose in your zeal for God, you need to regain that zeal by tightening up those areas that have become loose. Because nothing becomes lost without first becoming loose. You can ask yourself this question: am I closer to God today, or am I further away? Are you colder, or are you bolder? Is your walk with God louder, or is it milder? Are you squeaking like a mouse, or are you roaring like a lion? I want to know where you stand, because you can become a loser, and when you do, it's a sad state of spiritual affairs. When Mary broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on Jesus, the scripture indicates that it represented everything that she had saved. It was her lifetime possession. She broke it and she poured it out on him. And listen to Judas's response. To what purpose is this waste? I want to warn you tonight, by the lessons we learned from a loser, that you are in spiritual trouble when you begin to call worship waste. Oh, come on, somebody. You're in trouble when you begin to call worship waste. You are endangering your relationship with God. anything that is poured on him is never wasted. Oh, come on. Anything that is dedicated to giving him praise is not wasted. If it's a dance, if it's a shout, if it's a praise, do not call it waste. That is the lesson that we can learn from a loser. Losers call worship waste. What Judas should have done was said, Mary, man, all that was great. Just go ahead. Pour it out on him. He is a miracle worker. He is the Lamb of God. Oh, come on, somebody. He is the sinless Son of God. He is our Messiah. Just go ahead and pour out your worship. Don't ever call someone else's worship waste. Don't ever call someone's worship waste. In fact, when you see someone out there worshiping, you ought to get right beside them and encourage them by worshiping too. Yeah, he is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. Oh, come on. He is the mighty God. I don't know about you, but that does something to me because some people may not know that, you know, what I'm facing. But when I hear somebody worshiping, man, they're not quiet, but they're, oh, yes, you are God. You are what I'm living for. You are a miracle worker. You are a way maker. Oh, God, you are. You can do it, God. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Oh, I need you, God. Yes, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. I don't know about you, but worship strengthens me. It strengthens those around you. So don't ever call someone else's worship waste. Judas tried to justify his response by saying, we could have taken that money and we could have given it to the poor. The Bible lets us know that was not his real thoughts because the scriptures tells us that he carried the bag. What really bothered Judas was this. Losers think that Jesus is worth something, but not everything. Losers think that he is worth something, but he's not worth everything. Judas was not upset with what she did. He was upset with how much she did. The thing that really bothered him was her willingness to give everything to the Lord. And that's, sadly, what bothers some people today. Everybody thinks you should have a little religion. A little. But that's the spirit of a loser. That's what Judas's problem was. Judas was thinking you should do something, but not everything. She was not willing to give the Lord just a little. She was willing to give him her all. Oh, come on, somebody. She was not willing just to give him just a little, but she was willing to give him all, to give him everything. And that's what sets us apart. We're not here to give Jesus just a little something because he gave all on the cross. We're here tonight because we feel like we need to give him everything. We should give him nothing less than our all. Come on, is that why you're here tonight? Because you believe that he is your everything. He deserves everything. You're not going to withhold anything from him. Losers. They think that Jesus is not worth everything. We should give him nothing less than our all. And the ones who think that Jesus is not worth everything, they eventually will sell him for almost nothing. Losers who think that Jesus is not worth everything eventually will sell him for almost nothing. Judas said he is not worth everything. Eventually, he sold him for the price of a prostitute. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a prostitute in that day. In other words, if you do not think he is worth everything, eventually you will sell him for almost nothing. It is amazing what a little insignificant something some people will let stand between them and their relationship with God. You shouldn't let anything stand between you and God. Some will say, well, I don't go to church because the church is just a bunch of hypocrites. My question to them is, do you think that the crowd you're running with is any better than the hypocrites in the church? You are deceiving yourself. Church is not somewhere we go because we are perfect. Church is somewhere we go because we have need of something. It is where we go to get our help. It's not a museum for the saints. It's a hospital for the sinner. Do not ever perceive that worship is waste. Losers who think that Jesus is not worth everything eventually sell him for almost nothing. When Jesus told his disciples, "One of you shall betray me," you will notice all of them, with the exception of Judas, said, "Lord, is it I?" Until it came to Judas. Judas called him Master. Everyone else called him Lord. Now that might not mean anything to you, except the Bible says that no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The disciples were under the influence of the Spirit, but Judas had stepped out of the Spirit, and instead of calling him Lord, he called him Master, meaning teacher or rabbi. Judas traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Is there anyone who would be willing to trade what the world cannot hold for what you can put in one hand? Judas traded Jesus for what he could put in one hand. Basically, he was saying, I would rather have the money than to have him. When he made his deal, he lost the Lord. He became a loser because he lost the Lord. The Bible says that in the end, he threw down the coins and he went out and hung himself. Let us learn from a loser tonight, and I'm coming to a close. Whatever you trade your experience with God for, you eventually lose. You will lose God and things. He lost the Lord, he lost his master, and he lost his money. If you trade, you will eventually lose him, and you will lose what you acquired for him. If you trade God, you're eventually going to lose him, and you're going to lose what you traded him for. There's no job worth trading the Lord for. There's no amount of money worth trading the Lord for. And remember, what you trade for the Lord, you're eventually going to lose out on him, and you're going to lose what you acquired for him. I heard a story about a couple who lost their pastor, or who told their pastor that they were leaving the church. They told him that they needed money. They needed to work more. They needed to put more hours in, and they needed to get a second job, the man said. Bottom line was, they decided to leave the church to focus more on their career, to make money, to get financially stable. And hear me tonight, you better understand, or you better make sure that all the money that you're making on those extra jobs is not going to give you what Jesus can give you. You better understand that. All the money that you can make in this world is not going to give you what God can give you. It's not worth the trade. Things are not really what this world is all about. The things people want more than anything is a relationship. There is no thing or person that can take the place of your relationship with Jesus Christ. No thing can substitute for his presence. So this family went on to tell their pastor of their plans to leave the church. When we get the money we think we need and we become financially stable as we feel we should be, then we will return to God. A while later, the mother sent the little boy to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, and sad to say, he was hit by a car on his way home. And as he lay on the pavement, they opened his little hand and there were 50 cents in it. Money is the reason why they left the church. And money was left in this little boy's hand. You got to remember, what you do not only affects you, but it affects those around you. It affects others in your family. That one decision that you choose to make. So whatever you trade for him, you will eventually lose it in the end. Judas said, when I kiss him, listen to the words of Judas. He said, when I kiss him, giving them the sign of the one that they were supposed to capture. When I kiss him, you get hold of him and hold him fast. Judas was saying, I am kissing my master goodbye because I lost him. Take it from a loser, though. If you ever get your hands on him, if you ever get your hands on Jesus, hold him fast. If you ever get a chance to hold of him, don't ever let him go. Don't ever let Jesus go. Take it from the one who once had a hold of him, from the one who touched him. Hold him and hold him fast. Some people need to get a new grip on God. You need a new grip on your relationship with God. The Apostle Paul said, lay hold of eternal life. Get a good, firm grip on it. John said, our hands have handled it. We have touched it. We have hold of it. Judas, a loser who had lost his hold on Jesus, said one last thing to the man who came to arrest Jesus. Hold him and hold him fast. Hold him. Don't let him go. Hold him firmly. You don't ever want to walk in the shoes of a backslider. You don't ever want to live in the haunted house of a backslidden person. Judas kissed Jesus goodbye, but then he told the man to get a firm grip on him. Learn a lesson from a loser tonight. You don't want to let Jesus go. You need to get a grip on him. You need to get a grip on him. Come on, can we stand tonight? Oh, come on, let's all stand all over this place tonight and lift our hands to the Lord. Come on, can we get a hold of him tonight? Come on, can you reassure God tonight that I'm not going to let go? Lord, I'm not going to trade you for anything in my life. Lord, I'm not going to trade you for some things in my life, God, but I'm going to give you everything, God. Lord, I'm learning a lesson tonight, and that lesson is to not let go of you, but hold you and hold you fast, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, because we can't do anything without you, God. Lord, we can't move without you, God. Lord, it's in you that we live, move, and have our very being, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, if you don't want to lose out on God, can you just make that commitment to him again? Can you just recommit to him? God, I don't want to lose out on you, God. Oh, God, I don't want to ever call worship waste, God. Lord, I don't want to ever lose my respect for your house. Lord, I don't want to ever lose, God, Lord, my zeal for you, God. Lord, but begin to reignite a fire tonight in those. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh God. Oh God, you're doing something this year, God. Lord, and I don't want to walk out on what you're doing, God. Lord, I don't want to walk out what you're doing in my life. Oh, come on, can you just worship the Lord tonight right where you are?
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our church, visit powh.org.